Back in 2012, a massive sinkhole appeared in a cypress grove just outside of Bayou Corn, a small town in southern Louisiana that shares its name with the local marshlands. The giant gulf opened up when an underground cavern made by salt mining collapsed. The company Texas Brine had been drilling into one of the many salt domes beneath Louisiana to extract sodium chloride for plastics production at nearby petrochemical plants. Living on Earth's Emmett Fitzgerald first visited Bayou Corn in 2013 as the community struggled to respond to the catastrophe unfolding around them. And so far, things have only gotten worse.
Anytime there's an environmental problem in Louisiana, scientist Wilma Subra is on the case. She first showed me around Bayou Corn a year and a half ago.
It is heart-wrenching to see it compared to what it was like when you were here last time. It really is.
As we drive into town past pipelines and gas flares, Wilma points through a gap in the trees.
Okay, so then there's the sinkhole, you see?
Oh, yeah. It looks a little bit bigger.
Yeah, oh, it's growing. It's growing constantly.
The last time I was here, the sinkhole covered 20 acres. Now it's almost half as big again. The 29-acre hole is filled with dirty water, a polluted lake in the middle of a forest. Sonny Cranch, a spokesperson for Texas Brine, says he thinks the sinkhole is done growing.
And the sinkhole seems to have reached its maximum size right now. It has not grown hardly at all in the last 8 months. So we feel it's been contained and contained properly.
But a video shot on April 1st shows the sinkhole eating a 40-by-10-foot slab of earth. Wilma says that as sediment continues to flow into the collapsed cavern underground, the sides of the hole slough in, swallowing entire trees into the brackish muck. She's worried that if the sinkhole keeps growing, the salty water could get into the bayou.
I think the issue right now is that it's going to get to Bayou Corn and then it's going to flow into the lake systems all the way down to the Gulf.
Wilma says that if the brine from the sinkhole gets into that sensitive freshwater system, it would be an ecological disaster.
The salt water, the brine, will kill all the vegetation and all the animal and plant life on that bayou system. And so it's just going to move down there like a great big brine spill and just contaminate and destroy everything.
It's already destroyed a once tranquil, swampside community. When the sinkhole first opened up, local officials ordered residents to evacuate, and many people moved out. Still, the homes and the yards were neat and tidy, as if their owners planned to return any day. Today, the streets are abandoned and desolate.
There's weeds in all the yards, keep out signs, no trespassing signs, empty, empty houses. Really, really a sad situation.
We turn down a street called Sauce Piquant and park next to a log cabin-style house with a green tin roof that belongs to the Gregoire family. When the evacuation order went out, the Gregoires moved into a camper in the neighboring town of Pierre Part. But Wilma thinks the family may be back.
Their garbage cans are out here, see, so they must be staying here or spending a good bit of time.
So you can tell which houses have people in them by the,
right.
The garbage cans?
Right. But we didn't see any other garbage cans, did we?
Mm-mm.
Jennifer Gregoire meets us at the screen front door. Her two kids hide behind her legs as she tells us that life in the camper was harder than she expected.
The camper's too small. The lot was too small where we were. It was too close to the highway. The kids couldn't play. On top of it, you figure a little bitty bathroom and a 10-gallon water tank. Set enough to bathe four people.
So a few months ago, they moved back to Bayou Corn. Jennifer says the kids are glad to be home, but she's nervous.
Is the sinkhole getting bigger? Definitely. It's still dangerous. We still have that worry of what if the monitors go off? What if something happens?
The monitors Jennifer's talking about measure natural gas. When the sinkhole first opened up, it released a pocket of gas into the groundwater under the town. Gas started bubbling up in backyards, and Texas Brine installed monitors in houses to warn people in case the gas beneath them reached an explosive level. The company also drilled 55 wells throughout the town to try and suck the gas out of the aquifer. Wilma Subra again.
So this is a well that's going down to that layer of gas floating on the aquifer. And so it's bringing that gas up to the surface and then pushing it down that hosey pipeline.
From there, the gas is pumped to the outskirts of town where it's burned off in giant flares. Texas Brine spokesperson Sonny Cranch says the company's making good progress getting the gas out.
We've removed about 28 million cubic feet of natural gas.
He's confident there isn't much left.
It's a finite amount, we think. There's no recharge that's being indicated, so we think that that gas will all be out in the next several months.
But John Boudreau, director of emergency response for Assumption Parish, isn't so sure. There's still gas in the aquifer, he says, and that remains his biggest safety concern.
That risk still exists. In fact, some areas show gas in the shallow sands, and those sands are only 20 feet below the homes. So the risk is not diminished. It's still there.
Jennifer Gregoire, living on Sauce Piquant, has decided to live with that risk. She says she doesn't have much of a choice.
I understand the dangers and the risk I'm putting my family in, but it's cheaper and it's easier. I can't afford to buy nothing else.
The Gregoires are one of only about 20 families left in Bayou Corn. If a car drives down Sauce Piquant today, it's likely either disaster tourists or looters. Jennifer says it's no longer a good place to raise a family.
My son just had a birthday. We couldn't throw a party for him this year at the house. That was bad for him. Nobody wants to come here.
Since the sinkhole developed, Texas Brine has bought out 66 property owners, but many more residents have taken legal action. On April 15th, Texas Brine reached a $48.1 million settlement with a class of around 90 households. Sonny Cranch calls it a fair deal.
Those individuals will receive not only an amount for the value of their property, but an amount as additional compensation, or let's call it damages. It will be above and beyond the value of the property, the fair market value of the property.
A court-appointed special master will decide how to divide up the $48 million.
Then there will be a closing, and we will acquire their property.
But some locals don't want any part of that.
Okay, the name is Dennis Landry, and I live at 120 Sportsman's Drive, Belrose, Louisiana, also known as Beautiful Bayou Corn.
Dennis runs a once-popular fishing lodge called Cajun Cabins.
If you like the outdoors and you like ducks and guns, sportsman's paradise, this is it.
The walls of Dennis's home are covered with vintage rifles, fishing rods, and an assortment of stuffed ducks and geese. Right now, Dennis is renting out his cabins to state officials involved in the cleanup, but he worries about the future of his business.
It's been a year and a half since I've been able to rent to my regular customers, new people who still call wanting to come, and I tell them, well, I don't have anything available right now, so what's going to be the long-term impact?
Dennis knows there's natural gas beneath his house, but for now, he and his wife are sticking it out.
We still live with a suitcase packed and our medicine all in one bag, ready to go at a moment's notice. We've kind of learned to live with the monitors and live with the gas and keeping our fingers crossed that all these vent wells work and they get the gas out.
Environmental disasters are a fact of life in Louisiana, where weak environmental regulation has enabled rampant, often risky resource extraction. The BP oil spill in 2010 was the state's most high-profile eco-catastrophe, but in 2003, a natural gas storage cavern leaked beneath the town of Grand Bayou, a few miles down the road from Bayou Corn. The entire town was evacuated, and all that's left today are cement slabs where the houses used to be. But one man in particular wants to use the sinkhole at Bayou Corn to spur environmental regulation at the state level.
My name is Russell Honore, Lieutenant General, United States Army, retired.
General Honore is a local legend around here. He coordinated the military relief effort during Hurricane Katrina in 2005. But since retiring, he's become a champion for the environment in Louisiana. At a restaurant in downtown New Orleans, he says the situation in Bayou Corn shouldn't surprise anyone.
All the extraction companies, with all the lobbyists they have bought our government. And they've created laws that favor them and their greed. As a result of that, we end up with a situation like we have in Bayou Corn.
Last year, General Honore launched the Green Army, a coalition of organizations working together to advance an environmental agenda throughout the state. The Green Army is working with Wilma Subra and others to tighten regulations on salt domes, but they're thinking bigger than Bayou Corn. The most worrying environmental problem in Louisiana may be the coastal erosion crisis. Every year, the state loses 25 to 35 square miles of coastal wetlands to the Gulf of Mexico. Many scientists blame gas companies for building pipelines and canals through the delicate marshes. And General Honore wants the Green Army to put a stop to it.
Green Army doesn't have an address. It's an idea of people coming together and said, you must stop polluting our environment. Because if you don't stop polluting this environment, we won't be able to live here anymore. Our coastline will go away, and The Gulf of Mexico will be in New Orleans.
The Green Army supports a lawsuit filed by the New Orleans Area Regional Levee Board demanding that 97 oil and gas companies restore Louisiana's coastal marshes. But Governor Bobby Jindal recently signed legislation that would prevent the lawsuit from moving forward. General Honoré says that if they want to save Louisiana's environment, first they're going to have to fix the government.
The head of the committee that oversees oil and gas in Louisiana, guess what business he in? He's got a gas company. And he is the head of the committee that write the laws to control oil and gas. How could that be?
Louisiana is the second largest producer of natural gas and the seventh largest producer of oil in the United States. But General Honoré says that most people don't benefit from all this resource extraction.
Growing business is good, creating jobs. But in Louisiana, we're the second poorest state. What has the people of Louisiana gotten from this suffrage we've been through?
Back on Bayou Corn, Dennis Landry tells me that he has sympathy for these companies, even Texas Brine. He used to work in the gas fields.
I mean, they're out just like any other business in the world. They're out to make a profit. If they can do it, and they can do it cleanly, without sacrificing the environment, you know, let's do it. The world needs that oil and gas. The world needs brine produced by Texas Brine. The state just needs to be at the top of their game to regulate and make sure that they're doing it the right way, where it's environmentally safe.
But that didn't happen with Texas Brine, and now he and his neighbors are paying the price.
It's depressing, you know, you drive down the street and you hardly see anybody, where once, you know, you had a bustling little community with kids running up and down the street and families in the yard. It gives you a sad, melancholy feeling, no doubt about it.
Then Dennis tells me about an old journal he recently found.
Called Life on Grand Bayou, written by Louise Dupre Hernandez.
He says Louise was born in Grand Bayou in 1919 and lived her whole 70 years there.
But 37 years ago, she wrote in that book, we have a new neighbor at Bayou Corn, Texas Brine. And she goes on to just make two sentences, I think. Texas Brine is a ruination to the land in the area. 37 years ago. Boy, was that a premonition of something to come, huh? 37 years ago.
But Landry says her premonition went unheeded.
There seemed to be plenty warning signs that something wasn't right and plenty time to change course and... It didn't happen. It just kept on plugging along, mining that cavern, until the unthinkable happened, you know?
At the edge of the town, looking out over a ring of gas flares, a hopeful future for Bayou Corn is hard to picture. With the settlement, more and more residents will sell their homes, and as people continue to leave, the once vibrant community is beginning to look like a ghost town. Dennis Landry still wants to stay, but no matter what happens with the sinkhole or the gas, his Bayou paradise will never be the same. For Living on Earth, I'm Emmett Fitzgerald in Bayou Corn, Louisiana.